Now turn with me tonight, if you have a New Testament with you, our readings will all be there. I'd like to read firstly in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now we're very pleased to see such a large and goodly number again gathered for the preaching of the gospel here. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood, upon the world of the ungodly. Verse 9, this is what is being emphasized. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now the next reading is in the Epistle to the Romans. Beautiful chapter, chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. Now we're just going to read one verse here, one of the most beautiful verses likely in this chapter. It's a question. Verse 32, Romans 8 and 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? One final reading in this same epistle to the Romans, in chapter 11. Verse 17. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of these remarkable portions of his word. I have often wondered that both Paul and Peter used this expression as guided by the Spirit. In the readings in Peter, we have the little expression, spared not. And when we read of it there, we have in the background the truth that we have been preaching every night, that God is a God of inflexible righteousness, and a God who has an inveterate hatred of sin, a God of holiness, his character. And I want to impress that again upon our hearts this evening, that the one with whom we have to do is a purer eyes than to behold iniquity, that God is holy. And we being unholy by birth and nature, not one of us can ever expect, apart from a radical change, to ever stand in the presence of this Holy One. We preach the holiness of God and the character of God, his inflexible righteousness and his wrath revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, that each one here who are found without Christ and in their sins might come like the publican in Luke 18 and cry out from a broken heart, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Whenever Isaiah saw the holiness of God high and lifted up and his train filling the temple, and that those seraphims, angelic beings, veiling their faces and their feet in the presence of God and his glory, he said, woe is me, for I am helpless. I am a man of unclean lips. And along the Galilean lake, when Peter walked, that same one was there. And as he looked upon the majesty and glory and loveliness of Christ, he said, I am a sinful man, O Lord. So I want first of all to establish tonight the utter depravity and sinfulness of man and God's hatred of sin. And so I have read two examples of God showing what he thinks about sin. One of them is a very mysterious passage. It takes us back likely to the earliest times in the Bible, and as we read it, our minds are directed to angels in heaven. And those angels, however long they were there, created beings, and whatever joys they had, there was a day when sin, before it entered into this world in the Garden of Eden, into the human family, it had found its way into the area of angelic beings. And those angelic beings sinned. Their sin likely was a sin of lawlessness or rebellion, but whatever type of sin it was, if they thought that God would wink at sin or overlook their sin, they soon made a sad and tragic discovery. And I read these solemn words from the Bible. God spared not the angels that sinned. He spared not angels that sinned. And what did he do with them? He cast them down to hell. And while I preach here this evening, there are angels in hell, and they are waiting the judgment of the great day. They once were in the presence of the Lord, but today they're bound in chains of darkness, and they're reserved for eternal fire. They will never be saved. You know, it's a very solemn thing to think that a God of mercy and a God of infinite grace would pass those angels by. He provided no Savior for them. This is one of the mysteries of the Bible that I have often wondered at, that for those angels he provided no Savior. The Son was not sent to save angels. He took not unto himself the nature of angels, to lay hold upon angels. No, but he became a man to die for us sinners and for our redemption. It's one of the mysteries of the gospel that we preach. Angels never heard a gospel message. They have no alternative. They have no options. They have no choice. They're doomed. Was God right in doing it? Perfectly right. And I want to say that not one of us have any rights as far as God is concerned. The due reward of our deeds, every man of us here, is 49 years ago tonight, since I was saved as a boy, when I came to the Savior. And I realized if I get my due deserts, I will go down to hell in my sin. That's all I deserve. Oh, the wondrous grace of God. We can stand here tonight and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was exceeding abundant with faith and love that is toward Christ Jesus. Sometimes I think of Isaac Watts. He was the father of English hymnology, and he wrote many beautiful hymns, but I like this one. Why was I made to hear his voice and enter Wilder's room? While millions made a wretched choice and would rather starve than come, it was the grace that spread the peace that sweetly drew me in, else I would still remain without to perish in my sins. For remember the day we were drawn to the cross, to Calvary. God spared not angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. How sad. But then I read another demonstration of God's holiness, and this time it was in the world. I read these words, God spared not the old world. Peter refers to the flood 3 times. He was no modernist. Modernists deny the flood. And some are saying, it's only an allegory, there never was an ark. And the flood was only a local disaster. We believe the flood covered the whole world. This verse says, God spared not the old world. Our Bible opens with a solemn story, how at the beginning of this world, 18 years after Adam had been formed in the garden, sin had reached such a terrible high water mark of iniquity that when God looked down, it grieved him at his heart. And it repented him that he had made man at the beginning. And he said, I will destroy man from the face of the earth. I will do the same thing that I did with angels. I will rid the world of mankind with a flood. But as his eye looked down into that world, he saw one man. One man. And his heart went after that man. Thee only have I seen righteous in this generation. And because there was one man there that delighted him, you know that man Noah's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. His name means the rest giver. And in a sinful world he was the only man that God found pleasure in. He walked with God. We knew he was a sinful man. But he hadn't gone to the degree of immorality and iniquity of those antediluvians who said unto God, depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And as God looked on that one man, he decided he would provide a savior, he would provide a salvation and an ark that that man would prepare. And so instead of God spared not all the angels, but we read he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah. Oh, what a lovely thing that is. He saved Noah. It's like a glimpse of what he's going to do. He's going to save man out of a world of lost sinners. He's showing his delights were with the sons of men. We sing a hymn sometimes that always touches me. He saw me ruined in the fall. He loved me, notwithstanding all, to save me from my low estate. His loving kindness, oh how great. God spared not the world, but saved Noah. But I want you to think of the fact that all of us here are condemned by nature. He that believeth not is condemned already. And so when we came into the world, the sentence of death was upon us, even in the womb of our mother. All have sinned. All of us entered on a common platform. And the sad thing is the majority that enter like that on the broad road, they finish on the same road. We enter the world heavily handicapped. The odds against us of ever being saved. And the most perish in every generation. Few there be that find that narrow door. Most of us that found it, we found it when we were young. You know, when a man of 40 was saved in the Bible, it was called a notable miracle. I was once in the south of England at a Bible reading in Bath, and a brother there, they were all brethren and preaching brethren and teachers and elders, one of Mr. Vine's Bible classes. And a brother said, "We'd like to ask every man here that was saved between the ages of 12 and 21 to raise his hand." You know, in that large audience, over 80% of those teachers and evangelists and pastor teachers, they raised their hand between 12 and 21. All over 21 to 30, less. And when it came to 50, there was only one man stood up. There was a sad thing. I know that God can save people at any age. But to me it's a sad thing that people miss salvation in childhood and linger all the day. God does save poor people. He saved Jacob when he was 70, if we believe his conversion was at that latter scene we were looking at. And Abraham was well matured when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. You could be saved tonight at any age, but all the time to be saved is while you're young. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. But all of us here alike, every color and condition, we all deserve to perish. Sin will bring man down to hell. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, well, I want you to think of this verse. If you believe not that I am He, you die without personal faith in the Lord Jesus. If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Wouldn't it be solemn if the door was shut and you found yourself on the wrong side of that gulf? No salvation. I heard it all my life. But I want you to think of this lovely verse. God spared not His own Son. God spared not His own Son. And that word, if we take it back to Genesis 22, God said to Abraham, "Thou hast not withheld thine only Son from me." God spared not His own Son means He didn't withhold. He had only one Son. And the infinite plan, the eternal plan, the masterpiece was this, that one of the Godhead three would leave His former glory by, leaving for us the heaven's bright joy, and descend into a scene where He would be despised and rejected, to die in our place. The whole gospel we preach is the Savior dying in our stead, in my room, in my very place upon that tree. We're not preaching nominal Christianity. We're not preaching creeds and dogmas here. We are preaching the sweet gospel, the sweetest story that was ever heard in a human ear. The story of the cross. The story of the Redeemer's love. God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Not one here left of, as far as the provision is concerned. For God so loved the world, the whole wide world. Not a person left out of the provision, but you can lead yourself out from the provision. The river of God is full of water, but only those who stoop and drink it will ever know the benefits of Calvary. You are a personal, responsible being, and God has left every one of us here with a moral responsibility. And that moral responsibility gives me the right of choice. No one will ever go to the great white throne and say, I'm here because I was ordained to be here. I'm here because there was no Savior for me. You'll never be able to go there and say, I'm here because God left me. No, he gave his son. God spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all. Thou didst not spare thine only son, but gave him for a world undone. And freely with that blessed one, thou gavest all. I love the last of this verse. Someone said to me the other night, if I was saved today, what would happen to me tomorrow? Listen, God spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? I remember Harold St. John, when he preached once in the assembly I was in years ago, I never forgot this. He said, God has given us the core war. He says the core war is the most precious gem of all. And he says, God has given us the core war. He says, God has given us Christ. And if he has given us Christ, will he refuse us the case in which the core war rests? He gives us the greatest of all gifts. He'll give us all the other gifts. How shall he not with them also freely give us all things? As I look back to the day of my conversion, when I stood a prodigal sight of God, he's blessed me every day. All our friends of God, times change and people change. We are changing Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And I love that old verse, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. The Lord in prayer. God spared not his own son, he gave him. But not only was he given willingly, but on Calvary's cross, these tremendous words I couldn't explain, he had made him to be sin for us. Doesn't mean he became the thing. We should always be careful and reverent. While he hung on the cross and bore our sins and suffered exactly what sins had merited, he himself was absolutely spotless. The sin offering is a thing most holy of all the offerings unto the Lord. But as he hung there on the cross, God looked upon him and laid upon him. And when he laid upon him all our iniquities, then he laid the exact judgment that we had merited. He bore in love and bounded, what none can know. His love is more than tongue can tell. The many sorrows that he bore and all that hung upon you, that I might live forevermore is more than tongue can tell. God spared not his own son. Want to ask you, have you received him as your personal Savior?
Has there ever been a day when you received him? You say no. Why not tonight?
See, I didn't come to be saved tonight. I came because my Sunday school teacher asked me. I came because you asked me.
I came because
my friends asked, came out of respect to those that I'm associated with by birth and marriage, but I didn't come to be saved tonight.
But you can. This may be your night, your golden night,
and you can be saved. You must receive the Lord Jesus from yourself.
To as many as received him, in the silence of your heart, quietly here tonight, is there one soul that would bow his heart in the presence of the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I will trust thee. I believe that thou didst die for sinners, but I have not believed that he died for me. But tonight, I come and I trust with all my heart, for time and for eternity, for the ages to come, I will rest upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. Will you do it? What shall I do then, Jesus? It is called the Christ. God spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all. None left out. But I read a solemn verse. It has to do with the present condition of Israel. Israel was an olive tree. Beautiful tree, the olive tree, evergreen, fruitful. Takes 16 years to grow an olive tree. When I was traveling in the Middle East, I found out that there were no olive trees.
And very few in Israel. My journey there. You know why? It takes conditions of peace to produce an olive tree.
And a man's not going to plant an olive tree when he knows he'll never have any return for 16 years.
Oh, yes, good.
So you only get olive trees in places of peace.
Quietness.
Israel was an olive tree. But they were disturbed and turned away from God. And he break off those branches that were in that olive tree. And he took wine branches. And he put them into the olive tree. People tell us that that's never done. It's only good olive branches put into a tree that is poor. We were grafted in. The picture here, contrary to nature, is simply this, that when Israel turned away from the Lord and rejected him, then he brought Gentiles like us. And he brought us into the place that Israel once had. But he said, be not high-minded, but fear. For the time is coming when he's going to do a miracle now. He's going to take the old branches, put them back. The restoration of the nation of Israel is very near. That's one of the things that's about to take place. God giving up these nations. You know, in a month's time,
Vancouver could be in darkness. In a week's time, there could be no gospel here. I believe that these places where the gospel has been will be in total darkness, and the veil of judicial darkness that's on Israel's mind will be in the mind of those who have rejected Christ. And this is what we read. If God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee.
What will the end be of a man or woman, boy or girl, who rejects God's wonderful Son, the apple of his eye? Take heed, lest he also spare. The apple of his eye. Take heed, lest he also spare not thee. May God bless his holy word for Christ's sake.